know. So
Blog Talk Radio.
Many shaitun nirajim. Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rakbil Ilumin Rahman Nirahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amen.
Thank you, refuge of Allah, from Allah, the rejected enemy. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord cherishes the sustain of all the worlds. The most merciful, the most benefactor, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the one and only creator, of the heavens and the earth and all in between. Creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the seal of the prophets, and Allah's messenger. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, the message of concern. And you have to please excuse me and forgive me for that last little mistake I made. You know, you say the opening, which is the Al-Fatiha, first chapter of the Holy Quran, and you say so much in the Arabic language until you forget how to say and translate it in the English language. And that's what I just did. I said in the Arabic language first, and then I translated in English for those of you who didn't understand it in the Arabic language. Okay. Like I mentioned, As-salamu alaykum. God's peace be unto you. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show of the Message of Concern. And the message of concern is the removal of all images, including racial images, from worship that portrays divine, and the psychological effect that the image has on the minds of the world's children. That's the focus for today. On Tuesdays and Sundays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., this is the subject that we focus on, our children, and trying to get an understanding and agree or your input on how you might feel or what you might have to say about our children being told the truth about that image. And they must know the truth, because our children are much, much smarter nowadays, and they ask questions, and you're going to have to know what to tell them yourself, because you're going to have to, you also have to know yourself of what it's like not to be told the truth. And by this time in our lives, the older ones, the adults, I might say, would be curious and would want to ask questions as well, especially since we have such a, what should we say, not a, well, we have a ghost of the past, we say, or something like that, you know, because of that, the racial problem that we're going through nowadays, and it seems like it's hard to get rid of, but we are trying to slowly but surely get everyone to understand, and those of you who choose to understand, about the removal of all racial images and how necessary it is for the upbringing, the true upbringing of our young people, of our children, as well as, I'll have to say, some adults, you know, who don't have the understanding that we would think they would have, or should have at this time, you know, in our lives, to know that there's no Trinitarian doctrine, there's only one God, one creator, you know, and no tweaks in between, because in the, even in the Bible, it states something like you shouldn't have, that our God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want us to realize that there's nobody but him alone. And I, in saying that, I would like to, I'm sorry, my name is Daya Hanan Shabazz hyphen Akbar, and I'm your host for today. And we may also have a couple other sisters that are on with me today that come on throughout our 2 hours. But just to show you and to try and explain to you why we are so interested and focused in this area nowadays is because this is a new day, you know, and everything must change. Nothing stays the same. So we want to make sure that our children are knowledgeable on the truth, especially the truth. I mean, we were told, we were not told the truth for so long, and we can't let our children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren go on in life not being told the truth as well. So those of us who have learned better because of our interest, because we've been blessed to know better, to study and to learn better, we want to make sure that our children also, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, know the truth as well. And for those of you who study the Bible, and a lot of us do, a lot of us study the Bible, the Holy Quran, and the Torah, which you don't see the Torah so much nowadays, so it's the Bible and the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran, the King James Version, speak on that graven image. And that graven image is the same as the image that's being shown to us and that we have talked to our children about. And just want to let you know that the Holy Quran is not the only one who speaks about that graven image, but also the Holy Bible. King James Version speak of the graven image too. Give you an example, I want to point out to you out of Brother Henry's book, which is What Every Parent Should Know About the Worship of Human Imagery in Religion and Their Child's Mental Health by Henry S. Muhammad. And he wrote a book, and in this book, that's the title of it, and it has 126 pages, 26 chapters, and pictures in every chapter as a courtesy from the Library of Congress. So, I wanted to point out to you two chapters. Chapter in the Bible first. Chapter Exodus, 20th, well, two books and chapters and verses, different verses. Okay, first book is Exodus, and the chapter is 20 and verse 4. So there's Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, everybody starts to call when you start doing something. Phone cannot ring all day. Then you start doing something of importance. You can tell how important it is because everybody wants to call then. Let me stop that. Stop that. Okay. Exodus 2, chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. I'd like you to listen carefully. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. And then we go to one other chapter. Pay attention. I would like for you to pay attention, rather, of what you hear so that you can be able to form your own opinion and maybe give us some feedback. This is a program where we like feedback and we like conversations on the same subject. People would like minds. Okay, the next chapter is Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Okay? Do you hear something familiar? One more time, I'll read it. Deuteronomy 5th chapter, 8th verse. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Now, it sounds sort of, I wouldn't even say sort of, kind of, but it sounds really close to the Exodus, the chapter 20. The wording is the same. The wording is the same and brings to my mind, if this is in the Bible and they have two chapters, but the chapters are different and different verses, but the same wording. And that's what hit my mind when I first read it. or read those two chapters and verses. Now we have a lot of verses and chapters back here in Brother Henry's book in the back from the King James Version that talks about that graven image. You know, you have Isaiah, you have, like I just mentioned, Deuteronomy and Exodus, and you have Leviticus and a lot of other chapters back here. We just wanted you to pay you know, attention to those. And if it's written twice in the Bible, then we know that those that read the Bible have read those verses and chapters as well. So, I mean, let's be serious and think on what we're reading. Try to get an understanding of what we're reading. Okay, whereas you may not want to listen to it coming from somebody else's mouth, but if you read it from the King James Version, and you know, of the Bible, and it's read from there, then maybe you can pick up on the wording, you know, and use your common sense to think on what it's saying. Okay, now, Holy Quran. I would like to recite to you from the Holy Quran now. And it's called the surah, or the chapter is called El Ma'idah, the table spread. And it says, it reads, with the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ayat 116. And behold, Allah will say, O Jesus, the son of Mary, did you say to men, worship me and my mother as gods in derogation of Allah? And behold, Allah will say, O Jesus, the son of Mary, did you say to men, worship me and my mother as gods in derogation of Allah? And he will say, glory to you. Never could I say what I had no right to say. Had I said such a thing, you would indeed have known it. You know what is in my heart, though I don't know what is in yours. For you know in full all that is hidden. Never said I, do them anything. Never said I, do them anything except what you commanded me to say. To wit, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. And I was a witness over them while I dwelt amongst them. When you took me up, you were the watcher over them. And you are a witness to all things. If you punish them, they are your servants. If you forgive them, you are the exalted in power, the wise. Allah will say, this is a day on which the truthful will profit from their truth. Theirs are gardens with rivers flowing beneath their eternal home. Allah well pleased with them, and they with Allah. That is the great salvation, that fulfillment of all desires. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and all that is therein. And it is He who has power over all things. Surely Allah speaks the truth. And I have one of the short surah, which is chapter 112, chapter 112 of the Holy Quran, or surah 112 of the Holy Quran, Al-Ikhlas, the purity of worship. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, say He is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal absolute. He begets not, nor is He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. Sadaq Allah, the Yeshua Allah speaks the truth. So these ayats, or verses, and chapters, and surahs in the back of Brother Henry's book is like evidence to us that there's only one God, creator of the heavens and earth and all in between. Creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And He needs no other God, nor the helper. It's only one. Prophet Muhammad is the seal of the prophets. And the peace and blessing will be upon him. Now, I usually read something from Brother Henry's book
pertaining to the children and the untruths that have been told to them about the complexion of their skin, about the wrong complexion of their skin. The reason why their skin is the color that it is because they were cursed, or their families were cursed, or because the mother drank too much coffee or something like that when they were born, or while she was carrying them, or while they were young. The first one I would like to read to you is very short. That's why I'm reading. Okay, it's chapter 12. Your skin color is not a curse. And it's a little girl of color, and she's sitting in the doorway of a home, pretty little dimples, smiling on this courtesy poetry or photo from Congress. And it reads, when we read the Holy Quran, we see where God Almighty says he created the human being in the very best form. As we study the nature of human skin, we learn that our Creator designed our skin and our skin color to function as a protector for us and not as a curse against us. The physical sunlight has within it harmful ultraviolet rays, which can burn and destroy healthy skin cells, causing deadly skin cancers to develop. Within the skin of every human being is a substance called melanin. Melanin spelled M-E-L-A-N-I-N, melanin. Melanin is responsible for creating the differences in skin color that we see in human beings. Now, the fact of the matter is that there's just as much melanin in people with lighter skin as there is in people with darker skin. It's just that the melanin is more active in the darker skinned person than it is in the lighter skinned person. When harmful ultraviolet rays attack the skin, melanin rises to the surface of the skin and acts as a shield or umbrella, warding off much of the deadly cancer-causing ultraviolet rays. So the truth is that the darkness in a dark-skinned person's skin is a wonderful protection designed by God and not a punishing curse from God. So the question becomes, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lying, sick-minded racist who told you that the darkness of the African-American person's skin is a punishing curse? Or are you going to believe God, who created the darkness of the African-American person's skin to act as a blessed protection against the deadly cancer-causing ultraviolet rays of the sun? Melanin sounds like a blessing from God to me and not a punishing curse. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. So that right there alone, this little girl looks like she's about 3 years old. And it would be good if she knew the truth, you know. And by reading something like this, passing it on to her and other children like her, even the Caucasian child should know the truth. So therefore, we read that to them, then maybe that would help some, huh? Maybe that would help some. Inshallah, it'll help some. And we can do our best in what, you know, unite and come together and think on that. And especially the educators, you know, and counselors, and people of the book, I say. People of the book. Okay, if we would have any questions at any time or anything to contribute to what I've read, you can please push 1 on your phone receiver. And I will open your mic and bring you into the queue, and you can speak what you like, contributing to that, negative or positive. Please just keep it respectful. Okay, so I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting for those. Okay, I see familiar numbers up here. Okay, I'll be waiting for you to contribute, if you don't mind. This is not a one-sided affair. This is a family affair here. And this is a family affair, a community affair here. and everybody has the right to voice their, give their, or to give their input or participate, if you like. I would also like to keep up on the, let me turn my light on here. Light on this subject here. I would also like to keep up with the virus and how it's still affecting our children and how it's affecting our children and what's next with it. They've started giving them 5 years old and up, they started giving them their shots or booster shots, with their flu, may call them. And I've never agreed with that. And children still dying, you know. And we know that Allah is in charge and in full control, in charge at all times and in full control. But he blessed us with a mind to use to make good, sound decisions. And when it comes to our babies and our young ones and some of the older ones too, we try to make good decisions and good, sound decisions. So that virus, we're not going to give it a lot of attention, because that's the idea for that Shaitan wants us to do. Focus on something else that he puts in our path to help us to forget about the truth. So we're determined to concentrate and keep the truth ahead, you know. Also try and read something from Sister Clara Muhammad's news or educational section here. Page 11 in the Muslim Journal. Read from the Muslim Journal every day that we come on, because they seem to always have something in here. Seem to be behind in our papers, but still, information is information, and it's good to have. This particular paper is April 9 through 15th, 2020, and it's got, who is Sister Clara? Okay. But if anybody else want to give a story as well, any sisters, any brothers on the line and just want to chip in and give some update on what they might know about the virus, please do so. Just push 1 on your receiver and bring you into the queue, and you can voice, give your opinion on how you see it. Don't do that, then we will read something else out of Brother Henry's book. Because by this being a paper, it's an older paper, I read this last week, Sunday night rather. On Ramadan a lot in the last issue, 5 to the 15th of April. We still need to see May's issue. I don't know what the problem is with the Muslim Journal. They do have a new Muslim library, a museum rather, that has come up. And you can pull it up on an app. It's very good. Everything you see nowadays is in the papers about this voting down here in Atlanta, Georgia, but we can't let that bother us down either. We just pray that we vote for the one who will improve things, help make things right by bringing us together as communities and working in our favor, doing justice to everyone, to everybody. So we all know the deal. We all know what's going on with that. So I choose not to read the message of concern because the record that I play by Sister Suad, that's her name, Suad, yeah, by name Suad Elamin, that's her name. That's the CD that we play for our theme song. So I just choose not to read the message of concern because it says practically everything that's in the record. But I would like to give you a little something about the Blog Talk Radio show as well. It's sponsored by Sister Claire Mama STEM School. They share with us my brother, from Los Angeles, California. Allah blessed him with Blog Talk Radio shows, and he blessed us with to share with him. And we're grateful to him. We'll be grateful. I'm going to read the message of concern, just in case I see. Okay. A message of concern by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. What would happen if people would sit in the churches throughout the world for centuries with the image of an African-American man as savior of the world before them? What would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would happen to the world's children put under a figure of a particular race presented, pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men? This is the Quran, Surah 3, verse 64, or Ayah 64. Say, O people of the book, come to common terms as between us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. If then they turn back, say, ye bear witness that we at least are Muslims bowing to God's will. Civilized nations should want that their religion be also civilized. False worship is the worst form of oppression. We are no gods. We are only men, models from the models he, Allah, created. And it says the Quran. Okay, there's the message of concern. Okay, oh, I do see one person who has indicated that they would like to be brought into the cube and open their mics, and I will do so. Okay, it looks like Sister Quran. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Quran.
Morning, assalam. Alhamdulillah.
How are you doing?
I'm good, fine. Alhamdulillah.
Good, good. What do you have for us today? What are you going to share with us today?
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I wanted to share is about that, about the image. And one thing I was going to say, that I always like to hear this story that Brother Shuja, he's always telling me about the Jews, how they dealing with the image and how they sold this idea about that image to the people here in America. Alhamdulillah, they did a trade. They made a bargain with them. And And I love that story when he tells it, you know. But what it did, I started kind of like, you know, reading about the Jews, you know, and then I found out that there are different Jews. A lot of times when people say Jews, they be thinking you're talking about all the Jews, but there are different ones, you know. They have the conservative, they have the Orthodox, and they have another type too. I don't want to say the wrong name, but I know they have three of them. They probably have more too. But what it is that one group, they believe, because I was reading, and they believe that they are the people of the book. I said, wow, and I was amazed to see that. But they believe in one God who created the heaven, the earth, the sun, and the moon, and the stars. They always believe in one God. But then there's another group of Jews that, now this is the one that I that made me understand the story of Moses. Because like I think I said it before, when they crossed the Red Sea, when they crossed the sea, and then when they crossed the Red Sea, is in the Holy Quran, it said there were people already over there. Mm-hmm. And they had, it was worshiping statues. And then when Moses came back down from speaking to Almighty God, then they told Moses that what they wanted, they want those beautiful statues that the people, like they had. And then Moses explained to them, oh, do you want, you know, paraphrasing it, he said, well, you'd rather have, you know, something that basically doesn't talk to you and do this and do that, you know, than the Almighty God who created the heaven, earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so, but this what got me, though. This set of Jews, what they did is they said that they had, you know, what it is, they was worshiping different, this is what I understood, they was worshiping different, you know, statues and idols. And so what they did, but it was becoming confusing to the people and causing a lot of problems. So they said, let's come up with an idea. So they said they had an idea of worshiping one God. And I said, what got me was that they said they came up with an idea. So that means that this group never didn't believe in one God. They just came up with this idea of worshiping one God. And then after that, they said, out of that derived, you know, Christianity and Islam. Because I'm just saying what they said, you know, that's what they said that they did. And so my thing is that so now I understand, you know, about why, you know, they're in the position that they're in right now. It's because of that false worship. And also that makes, when you know your enemy, they say if you want to defeat your enemy, you have to know your enemy. You have to know their language, and you have to know what they believe in. Alhamdulillah. That's something that I have wanted to say, that, and then it's nothing wrong with, and then I think I was listening to Imam Wardi Muhammad teaching, and he was saying that it's good for us to study other people's beliefs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you just study their belief, you know, to see what they believe in, you know, like that, alhamdulillah. And, but basically, that's, let me see what else I have, because I was trying to write some things down here. But basically, that's what I was wanting to say, is that about the Jews.
Okay.
But you have to remember there are different sets of Jews, denomination, just like the Christians. They have the Baptist and the Pentecostal, and they have the other Christianity too. So when we read, when we see that some things that the Jews are doing, then we need to basically kind of study to find out what denomination that is doing this. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And he was saying, but this is what I want to say one thing. And then also, like Shuja was telling me in the stories, that they are the one. They are the one that brought on this false image about Jesus as God, and Jesus was the Son of God. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Sister Quran. I've never, first time I've heard that, that there are different ones. I knew about Orthodox Jews and, you know, something like that. I've even heard about some new set of Jews. What were they called?
They have conservative, too. One called conservative.
Conservatives, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that could be it. Right, right. Well, all right then. Does anybody have an input on that? Or share some wisdom, knowledge, and understanding on that from their point of view? If so, just push one on your phone receiver, and we'll bring it into the queue to let your voice be heard. Okay, well, I don't know anything else about these Jews and their different religions that they have.
And I do want to say something about, because you were speaking on the shot that they're giving the children. And
okay.
And what I want to say, I belong with you. I really don't believe that they should give certain shots like that to the children, because for one thing, their immune system is already built up.
That's true.
If you remember, the children, they can put their hands, they can go and play in the mud and everything, and then get some bread and eat it, and they won't get sick. But if you put your hands in the mud and then get some bread and pick up a piece of bread and eat it, you're going to get sick.
That's true.
So Allah is so merciful, he already knows. So he's, like I think I heard a sister was saying how we already have, like sometimes people don't get sick because they already have that antibiotic in their body already that fights against that. And a lot of times that virus attacks those that have, that is sick, or that have, that have some kind of problems, and
yeah,
their immune system. No, right.
Right. They have built up antigens.
Be around. Go ahead.
But yeah, they can build up antigens from different ways, throughout, their lives and times that will help them to fight off the virus if their immune system is okay and well and kept up with the right food and living conditions and ways of life.
And then you got to understand, too, that a lot of times when people go into other people's houses, like for example, you can go into somebody's house and you say, oh, this house ain't tidy, but those people are not sick.
Right.
They're not sick because they don't build up immune system for wherever it is. Their immune system was building up when whatever was, like sometimes we have chickens coming in and out of the house. Like, we ain't sick. But somebody else might come in here and they might get sick.
That's right.
Not everybody, because like my children, they come in, they don't, but you never know. If somebody's immune system, they might just get sick because they are not, because they probably haven't built up that immune system. Their immune system haven't built up that antibody to fight against that, where it is, like that, alhamdulillah. And so that's why, like, some people's houses, when I go into, if I see the house is not right, then I just tell them that I don't stay long. I don't stay long because I know that they're not sick, but I might get sick, alhamdulillah.
True. Very true. Does anybody else have anything to say about the children and the virus and the education part, or any current events that you would like to point out or bring up that you're up on that we may not be up on?
I have something.
Okay, go right ahead,
I have
girl.
One more thing. Yeah, we have one more thing to share, too, about the educational part. And that's why education is very, not only unity is power, but education is power, too. That is so very important. One of the things that, you know, like I'm going to tell you, when I was kind of growing up, and they talk about the, I mentioned the Jews because I'm telling you, they have a lot to do with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their main, and they have a lot to do with one of them. That's why when they talked about them, they always, I'm just saying, when I was a child, because I didn't know no better before I became into the Nation of Islam. I mean, not the Nation of Islam. Yeah, I did enter the Nation of Islam before I became to Islam. Is that I always saw them as put them on a pedestal, like a high pedestal. I'm just telling you. I'm just because you know I'm in the South and I never been around no Caucasian, but I know they was there. And then I found out that so what I was studying up and reading up on them. You know what their main, thing of part of their life is? Education.
Oh, yeah.
Not education and knowledge. That is
right.
Their life.
That's right.
I said, and that's what we need. And we need to eat. And remember, that's something that I guess everybody likes because we're supposed to keep educating ourselves from the cradle to the grave. And that's
right.
What we need to do our children. And that's why education right now, if you don't have no education, you don't have no knowledge. That's why we be saying, did they all up in our neighborhood and this and that? But if we had the knowledge, because I was crying into, and so I said, well, let me stop crying and see what we have to do in this community and find out they're supposed to give back to the community. I said, why do you have a business in your community you give back to the community? For social and for the economics, and you know that's the main thing right there. You're supposed to give back to the community. So now I said, now we have rights. We have rights. All you have to do is know what to do. All you have to do is go to those places like those what you call that, the congressmen and all of them, you know. And then now we have people that's in our neighborhood. The African America that's working along with, and that's who we need to talk to right there, and let them know that we want some businesses, and we have the right to have. Like if you open a business, we have the right to have some business, and they need to get some money and support. And like I said, that we need our own business. We need to have an African American business, or even we just need to have one. And then the city could help support that and do that. Because they taking the money and using the money they got, we got billions and billions of dollars that coming here into each state. They give them so much money right now, and we taking that, and they taking the money in Louisiana. I told you they already gave. They giving two parties already. They giving a black party, a neighborhood party, you know, like festival, and then now they're getting another festival for just an African American a neighborhood thing. All that money. They have to do something with it because, see, they could only put so much in their pocket themselves for that year. And the rest of them, they got to give back to the community. But if they don't have nothing to give back to the community for, then they use it for the party. So what we have to do is get our people together and educate them because they don't know, because they don't know that they got cracked out and their parents was not there to give them the wisdom that they're supposed to have. And right now, if the children grow up seeing that we ain't got no business, they're going to think that's the way it's supposed to be. Not all of them, because some are going to have enough knowledge to know that they want to do for self. But a lot of them, you know, that when, well, in the neighborhood where we at, we ain't got too many there. Well, I'm going to say that we got a lot of smart people there, but like you said, they just don't know. I put we because if just one person know and you got 15 or 10 that don't know, then it's we.
Right.
We don't know our community right. That's what
true.
It is. And that's what we have to learn. We have to learn our community right. Alhamdulillah. And I'm checking into that because I sure want some of that. I still want some of my tax money back.
I know that's right. I don't have any coming, but nice.
You pay taxes. No, you pay taxes. When you go buy something, you
mm-hmm.
pay taxes. That's
true.
That's your tax money. That's what
that
is. And that's
money.
And the Social Security
that we get,
that comes from our tax money.
Right, but can we get it back at the end of the year when tax time comes?
Yes. Yeah. You just got to know how to do it.
Really? Well, I got to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, you can. You can get it back.
Oh, wow. So
that's how they just all that time. See, all that time I wish I had known. I said, damn, all that time I had my children, I used to be thinking about it. I said, dang, I used to go by Target. I said, I wish I had $1,000. I'd buy my children all new clothes. Because I remember the email where Wardy Muhammad said that, you know, when you have, how that look here is you all dressed up nice and clean and sharp and got all these good clean clothes on and your children down there raggedy.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be vice versa. Your children's supposed to be looking good.
Right.
And I just said all the time, and I said, dang, and then after that I found out, and you know, all that time, and I was working at the Mass Gym. I was giving, you know, I was doing calendars and doing the newsletter stuff at the Mass Gym, so I could have got paid for that, you know, as self-employment.
Wow.
And sometimes they pay me. They pay. It was, sometimes they be paying me, too. Like when they have events and stuff like that, then they'll pay me. You know, they just pay me for my expenses. But that was good, too, right there. Pay me. And then they'll give me, you know, things, complimentary tickets and stuff like that for my family. You know, but that
mm-hmm.
was good because, but the thing about it is, if I knew about self-employment, I could have gotten $7,000 and $8,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had all those children.
Oh, wow.
And so
good.
That's why I said knowledge, if you have the knowledge. And you can
yeah.
get it back, I'm telling you. You can get it back just by like what you're doing right now,
uh-huh.
now, you could
mm-hmm.
put down that, you could get paid for that right there because you're doing something best dealing with religion. And
uh-huh.
that's, and you could get paid, yeah, just like the pastor get paid. And not the congregation; they get paid for taxes. What it's all about?
Well,
I'm telling you, you just got to know.
Just got to know. That's it. Thanks for sharing.
Alhamdulillah.
Thanks for sharing, because I sure didn't realize that. I never knew that.
Just ask your tax preparer, and they'll tell you. Because some of them ain't gonna tell you unless you know. But if you know, then you can, and you could tell them. You could tell them. They'll know. They'll say, "Oh yeah."
Okay, Cora. I sure appreciate that thought. I sure did. I passed this year, but I ain't get it next year.
Yeah.
Maybe I can.
Because I was telling you about Akbar, you said your husband, what he was doing, and I told you, I said, he could get paid for that. He could get paid for doing that. What he's doing, he could get paid for that. He can get that back off on his taxes. He could go buy from his expenses, you know, his gas, you know, the paper, his supplies. He could do that.
Right. Alhamdulillah. Thanks for sharing, Quran. I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. We have a guest speaker today. We have a guest speaker coming on today, and he had said that he could come on in the second hour, and it's almost that time now. It's 7:59 here, so it's 6:59 there, where the Abdullah family is. And so now if it's 8 o'clock here, that means it's 7 o'clock there. So it should be about his time. I see the indication that he is on. And we have Imam Abdullah, Yusuf Abdullah, from Nashville, Tennessee, the director of Sister Claire Muhammad School there. And he's our guest speaker for tonight. You know, those of you who come on regular know that Brother Hamid has been on. That's the young brother, Hamid Abdullah, that's a part of the youth group in the Chicago, and he has participated in the convention and even led our Ramadan prayer kickoff, Ramadan session, I think a time or two. And then you have the mother, Sister Mahasan Abdullah, who's the principal of their Sister Clara Muhammad School. She has been on as well. And Brother Imam has been on as well, but he's I asked for help and somebody to come on, and he willingly said yes. And he didn't say no, and I was very grateful, very grateful. I know they have a lot to say. He was speaking on a very important concern of ours. This is the day for the focusing on psychological effect that the image has on the mind of the world's children. And we're going to present to you Brother Imam Yusuf Abdullah, the imam from Nashville, Tennessee. And I think I hear him on. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. How is everybody?
Good, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Good, Brother Imam. So you can, we're glad to have you on, and we're glad that you want to share with us your concerns about our children.
Okay, and praise be to Allah. Well, first of all, I want to thank Allah for the work that y'all are doing and being concerned for our children, because it's a big concern. And as a matter of fact, sometimes we don't know how massive these things have been allowed to get, because, you know, they're so prevalent in our environment, and we don't always recognize. So we got televisions, we got radios, we got Facebook, we got all the methods of communication, and those communications are bombarding the minds of our children. You know, some of them give them productive things, and a lot of them are kind of detrimental. As a matter of fact, some of them are very detrimental. And I'm looking at a situation now that I've been thinking about. You know, we've had mass shootings. Two that has really made the news was the one in New York and the one in Texas. Okay, so those two have made the news. And when we look at those shootings, a lot of these shootings, especially school shootings, we should observe that these shootings are done by young boys between 17 and 20 years old. Maybe even then, somebody that's slightly over 20. But young, very young men are getting in control of weapons, flak jackets. Flak jackets can prevent, if somebody shoots you, the flak jacket will catch the bullet and keep it from killing. So they have that, and then body cam and all that. Especially the young man in New York, he was just kind of tracing his steps. He was recording as he shot people. And so what happened is the children are indoctrinated at home by this. You let people come into your house, and your child is sitting at a play station. He used to have to go outdoors and play basketball or baseball or soccer, or he'd go swimming, climb a tree, throw rocks at his neighbors, ride a bike. But now, about 30 years ago, they come over with what's called PlayStation. I used to ask, what's a PlayStation? You know, because I grew up, I played, you know, out in the woods, all kinds of places I played. But I never played at a station. And so later on, we find out as this PlayStation mentality developed for our children, they are putting all kinds of things on the PlayStation. And you're talking about the images, and those images are perpetuated also on the PlayStation. I was coming to my living room one day, and some of my grandchildren were here, and they had turned the television on, and they had a program on, and this little kid was called Boss Baby. And, you know, I looked at the television, said, Boss Baby, and I looked, and here's a little white kid, all dressed up in a suit, baby. He didn't look like a baby, but he was dressed up in a suit like a businessman, you know? Mm. And so I asked the children, I said, did y'all vote for him to be the boss, baby? You know, somebody will come and proclaim themselves to be boss, baby. among right. you, did you vote for him? They said, no. I said, well, how he get to be the boss baby then? I said, turn him off. So I made him turn boss baby off, and now they got animosity for boss baby. Don't come and tell me, try to indoctrinate me and tell me you the boss baby. And so then if you the boss baby, which baby am I? You know, and I didn't vote for you to be the boss baby. So
right.
so these kind of psychological, see, grown people, and they use babies because they're working on babies, they use
mm-hmm.
babies to psych out them children even before they get knee-high to a frog into thinking that somebody else is superior to them. So,
right.
so we have to watch out. Yeah, we have to watch out for that. We can't just be passive. We have to, if those kids are watching something, you better watch it with them for a while, at least see what's going on, so that they don't just get wiped out. When the prophet was, when Allah raised up Muhammad the prophet, peace upon him, one of the first things that he was established is that there's no God but Allah, that God is the only God. And then after a while, he ordered him to clean the house Abraham and Ishmael had built for the worship of the one true God. It had been filled with idols. And I use an analogy in Nashville when I'm giving khutbah sometimes. You know, this is the country music capital of the world, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And so if I went to downtown Nashville to the mayor's office, police station, and all those people, and told them we got to get rid of all these country singers, they probably put me in jail. So that was the situation. The problem was when these gods, they was their revenue. They, you know, they made money on the gods. You know, first of all, they were in the Kaaba and they had to pay rent. If you want your God in the Kaaba, you have to pay the people who had the Kaaba. You have to pay them something. They couldn't stay in there free. Yeah. And so those and people came there to see their gods that had been put in the Kaaba with the other God, you know. So the pilgrimage, everything had been distorted and messed up because there were some people who didn't follow what Abraham had established that house for. And so over the years and years and years and generations, they went astray. And they were idolaters. They became idolaters. They worshiped many gods, stone, wood, whatever, you know. And so for that reason, you know, when we look in the Bible, you read some passages in Exodus 20, 4, and 5, don't make graven images. For that reason, you know, because that was what Abraham did. When Abraham was a youngster, before he was Abraham, he was Abram, and he saw his society that the people, they were worshiping idols. Matter of fact, his father was one of the people who made idols. If you need an idol and you want to be made out of some kind of wood or stone, you go and order your idol, and they'll say, FedEx your idol to your house.
Wow.
That's it. I said FedEx. Of course, they didn't have FedEx back then. But so we'll get, because we need to know that when we read scripture, we are not reading about old history. We
mm-hmm.
need to know that we are reading about current history.
Right.
In the Revelation, it said that when John was up in the heaven and he saw that book, and he wanted to know, was there anybody to read the book, and there was nobody to read the book, they said he read much. Because there was nobody there to read the book. And later on, we found out that same book was for the future. It was for how man was to direct the life of men in the future. Praise be to Allah. Later on, Rasulullah went up into the heaven. And when he went up into the heaven and went past all the seven heavens, our father Abraham being in the first, not Abraham, our father Adam, pardon me, excuse me, Father Adam in the first heaven, Jesus and John the Baptist was in the second heaven. As you know, Jesus and John the Baptist was on earth at the same time. Idris, Enos, I think, Idris and Enos were the same. Enos was in the third heaven. Wait a minute, let me make sure I got it. No. Yusuf was in the third heaven. Enoch was in the fourth heaven. The fourth heaven is higher education. Enoch was in the fourth heaven. Aaron was in the fifth heaven. Moses was in the sixth heaven. And our father Abraham was in the seventh heaven. And so when they went through all those heavens, and then finally the prophet was admitted to come around the throne of Allah. And when he came around the throne of Allah, the throne of Allah was surrounded with angels, all those angels around the throne. And when we look at the Kaaba during the pilgrimage and we see all those people around the Kaaba, you're looking at the will of God being done on earth, just like Prophet Muhammad saw it being done in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that Jesus prayed, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven?
Right.
So when the prophet saw how the people prayed there and God had given the instructions on the prayer, the imam said Prophet Muhammad was number eight. Abraham was seven, Prophet Muhammad was number eight. So what is eight? Eight is construction. That means he had to bring what he had seen back, and he had to construct it in the environment. He had to construct the worship. So at every masjid that we go to on Friday, and we see the brothers lined up toward the Kaaba, and it's like that all around the earth. And so it's like a big circle of people, humanity, are worshiping, turned toward Mecca, worshiping God on earth, just like it was the angel of worship him in heaven. So this indoctrinating children into false worship and into belittling themselves and glorifying others. I hear sisters say, you know, you used to have problems with the worship. I did too, because I wanted to be like Jesus. And then when I looked at Jesus on the picture, Jesus, he had a little bitty lips, and I had big thick lips. Jesus had a little narrow nose, and I had a big wide nose. Jesus had long curly hair, and I had short nappy hair. And I came to the conclusion that it was something wrong here. As much as I love Jesus, there was no way I could look like you, right? So in my heart and mind, that was a problem. And so can you imagine growing up and then you be thanking everybody? And I used to read about the children of Israel also. And they were supposed to be the chosen people. And I wanted to be chosen. I mean, these are things that went on in my heart as a young man. I wanted to be one of God's chosen people. And that desire was not satisfied in me, because I read the Quran in 1977. And I read in the Quran that Allah choose those who choose him. If you choose Allah, he choose you. You know, you don't even have to wait and worry about it. And I never worried about that ever again. You know, and Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Surah 62 of the Quran, Allah says, say to those who say they are Jews, Huda, if they think that they are beloved by Allah more in the exclusion of other people, then tell them to pray for death. If you think God loves you, doesn't he love everybody else, then go pray for death. So you can die and go on. You don't need to fool around here. You can die and go and let God take you and do what he wants to do with you, because you're wasting time.
If
you ain't got nothing to do but just be a born a Jew, and all of a sudden, and that's going to get you in the paradise, pray for death. And then Allah says, but they will never pray for death because they know what they have done. So again, now back to these children. They sit in front of the television. They watch the television, and they see people with rifles. And actually, the way the television is set up, it's like they have the rifle. They got the little board in their hand, and when something comes in front of them, they have to flick it then they shoot. And they shoot and it hit the body of the thing in front of it, blood jump out. And then the body fall and die. And they walk on and step on it, go to the next thing, jump up, they shoot it, blood jump out. And they walk on it, step on it, and it fall down and die. And they go be doing that for 10, 12 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, an hour, all day. And they start out at 8 or 7 or 8 years old, and then they get 15, 16, and 17, and they start daydreaming about killing people.
Oh, my goodness.
Some of the sociologists say that a lot of them have suffered from being bullied. So if somebody's bullying you, and you got this thing in your hand, you're killing these things on this screen, then it don't take long for your mind to transfer. So, yeah, I can go down and kill all them rascals that's cool like that.
You know, and so
you mess around, you steal your grandmama's credit card, and you go buy $1,000 worth of military hardware and $1,000 and go out and start killing people in your neighborhood, killing people at the school, killing people at the daycare. What is this?
Yeah.
Okay. So and then our politicians, they're crying, oh, we got to make some laws. Okay, what the law going to say? What the law going to do?
Right.
You know, you're going to make law. What the law going to say and what it's going to do? It's going to say that the gun lobby, the gun people can't sell no more guns. For what? Why should it say that? The gun didn't kill nobody. The gun would have been laying where it was going to lay if that person who had sat there and watched those things for the last 10 years, if he had not picked those guns up and went out and started shooting the babies with it, those guns never would have shot those babies.
Right.
They've already sold over 400 million guns in America. And they can sell 400 million more. But that's not the issue. The issue is when a human being get a gun and he have been indoctrinated into the gun culture without a moral compass.
Yes.
He don't know what it means when he see on that thing, he shoot that gun, blood jump out. He don't know it has ruptured a heart. It has ruptured arteries. It done bust the liver. You know, the kidney was, all those vital organs have been wounded by a child who have been grown up without a moral compass to help him to understand what he was looking at. So that's where we are, and I've written a letter, and I'm sending it to the president, because and what I think would help the country, because they say there's been a whole bunch of shootings just this year. I didn't know. I just heard of the last two weeks, the one in New York and the one in Texas. I didn't hear. I missed some of my. Sometimes I missed the news. But what if those, I'm going to recommend that they allocate enough money to have every 10th, 11th, and 12th grade student go to the gun range. Put the gun in their hand. Go to the gun range and send drill instructors who train young Army soldiers, Marines and others, send them to teach them about weapons. Teach them how to respect for weapons. Weapon safety. Teach them what happens to a human body if they are shot by one of those weapons. So everything will be clear in their mind.
Right.
I went to the Marine Corps, and I was trained in how to shoot weapons. In Marine Corps, you have to be good with the weapons. So I was trained how to shoot weapons, and I went to Vietnam and I shot my weapon, and I was trying to shoot some people, but I had been trained that these were the enemy of our whole society. These are our societal enemies, and according to what we learned, we are protecting ourselves from an enemy to our people. So they said, and they tell us, oh, we appreciate your service. Why? Because you protected the democracy. But then, you know, if you evaluate that, there may be some deception in that too, you know. Praise the Lord. Yeah. But one thing about it, when I came back to the United States, and that was been over 50 years ago, I have not shot a weapon at anybody.
Wow.
And there are millions of men who have been overseas and fought in the war, and when they come back, they have not shot at anybody. I even know policemen who will tell you, I was on the force for 25 years or 30 years, and I retired, and I never had to use my weapon.
Mm.
You see? So those people who shoot people with, in the absence of a moral compass, they just, it's all there for game to them.
Right.
So if I'm in, inshallah, I should send the letter out in a few days. But, and I'm going to send one to the President of the United States. I'm going to send one to the National Police Chief, because I talked to him about that, and he thought it was a good idea. But see, boys need to know about guns. There's nothing wrong with a boy. When I was at home, 10, 11, 12 years old, we had shotguns, and we would go out and hunt rabbits. My daddy taught us how to be safe with the gun. Don't be waving no loaded gun around. You either turn it toward the ground or to the sky. Because if you turn it anywhere else, you might shoot somebody and hurt them. And that ain't what you intended to do. So you have to be safe. So praise be to Allah. That's a starter on what we really gonna have to do if we're going to make our society safe. So we can't have 10-year-old girls being gunned down like that by somebody 17 years old and out here without a moral compass and didn't talk how to shoot with rifles and military weapons and killing babies like that. It's insane. So I'll stop here for a while. Somebody may have some questions or something. If not, we'll move on.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Imam. Thank you so much. What are you going to do about the sisters? With the... They going to send us to the range, too?
If they want to go, but I haven't heard of no sisters coming out killing nobody. everybody's free, but the boys, that's...
I understand.
It's almost essential that they get out.
Right.
I was even during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say that the prophet, the men used to practice their war skills in Damascus.
Makes sense to me. I was just kidding with that, but the other dude may need some backup though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I understand what you're saying. You know, like in the masjid, you know, we'll start talking about shooting up masjid, shooting up churches, shooting up synagogues. You know, we have brothers outside God and sisters.
That's a good idea. They be kind of
prepared, too.
That's a good idea, though, the letter you say you wrote to the president, that's a very, very good idea. You got to start somewhere with this, with that.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Sign
a petition or sign anything, those who agree or something like that, then it would be good to know who all would agree with that and, you know, your letter and with that idea that you have. And.
I think once certain people see it, they'll realize. And if not, then later on, if we could have a petition to show them that this is what people want, because they want more than anything. They want those children to be safe and cool when they drop them off at school.
Exactly. We appreciate you. I don't see if anybody have any questions for Brother Imam Yusuf Abdullah of Nashville, Tennessee, the Imam and director of Sister Claire Muhammad School, you know, dealing with children every day and all day too with the grands and all that even after school. Please indicate that you have a question by pushing the 1 on your phone receiver, and we will see the indication on the board that you would like to have something to say. Add on to it, contribute toward it. Just push the 1 on your phone receiver and you'll be brought into the queue. You can ask your question. Well, it doesn't seem like anybody have anything to say, but it was enjoyable then. I mean, they must have a lot of notes they wrote. Or a tape recorder or something, since they don't have any questions to ask. So that means that they either understood or took it all in. Oh, here's a question now here. Let me bring this person in. See what they have to say. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. This is the Quran. I had to change.
Yeah, I was singing. Yes, ma'am, Sister Quran.
I just want to agree with him. I just want to agree with him when he said that we should get together and where we could teach our children about guns, gun control, and also I think that we should always teach them too about, like, when they see like something, when an incident like that happens, what to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what to do. You know how to take cover. You know, so on, you know, this and that. You know, so they won't get hurt like that. Alhamdulillah. And now I think that they should always have security at school, because you know the biggest trick. Because I was surprised, because they've been having this shooting for a while at school. I was surprised they didn't have no security, because you know the biggest trick the devil can play is to pretend that he doesn't exist.
Right.
And then when you let your guard down, that's what happened. Because I know somebody said, well, how did that happen? How did he get on the school grounds with all, you know, without being noticed, you know, with the gun and all that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it would bring up a question.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Good luck.
Yeah, well, I agree. We have to train them and most certainly how to take cover, how to get out of the way. I was showing a group the other day in the masjid, especially for the men, if a shooter come in and he's shooting, and some of the men should have the courage to go at him. But don't go straight at him, because if you come straight at him, he just raises his gun and shoots. You go at him in a zigzag. You go to his left, and then cut back to his right, and to his left. So he got to keep moving his weapon. He might hit you, but the chance of him hitting you is less, because he got to kind of keep up with which way you're zigzagging. And then if you can get go left and right 2 or 3 times, you should be at him by then, and you can tackle him, and you should be able to bring him down. And but it's a risky business, but it's better than just dying without any option. It's better than let your children, your women and children die without any option. So if a man has to do it, just try to do it in a way that would confuse the shooter and make you as safe as possible in that situation. No, there's no guarantee, but at least you kind of raise the ante where you might be able to get to him without being hurt yourself. And,
right.
Yeah, and we can teach them more, a whole lot of other things, like getting behind poles and big logs and big rocks and turning a corner, getting out of the way. There's a lot of ways to avoid being shot, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Alhamdulillah. I agree with that, because I know a true story. Well, I can say it's true, but I saw a story where that happened, where the guy, he was running, and he would start running zigzag, and then he was able to get away by him running zigzag like that.
Yeah, because the guy, he got to aim. He got to keep aiming. If you just go on one, you just get one good aim set and fire. The bullet will catch up with you before you can make another set.
Mm-hmm. All of it is a very good idea. I'd like to know the outcome of that too. Yeah.
Yeah, but if something happened with it, we'll make sure it get in the journal, and it'll probably be around the country.
Okay.
Something needs to happen.
Yes, something does need to happen. Yeah, we frequently talk about a strategy, or some strategy need to be some strategy or how to go about something like this, you know, for protection or safety.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is in the Quran. If the men know that these kinds of threats are around, we know they're around, because we've had it happen, I think, Australia and different places. We shouldn't all be in the master setting, talking about listening to the football.
Right.
But some men should be watching the backs of the believers.
That's right.
You know, this is Quran. You watch the back of the believers. And then when the imam leads the first group in prayer, then they can come in, and then they get the prayer, and then somebody watch their back. And,
right.
And we'll all be well protected by each other. I was in a group here in Nashville, and they had the police with us, several imams and leaders of the master. And they were talking to the police about all this fear of that, you know, sometimes we make prayer in the mornings, it's dark, and our back's to the door, and we, you know, we a little shaky sometimes because somebody just might come in. And I was thinking to myself, what are you talking about? You know, Allah told you what to do, and here you are telling this poor policeman that you scared, and y'all, we're going to need y'all to protect us when we make lives a lot. I just had to tell him, I don't know why we're doing this, because Allah done already told us what to do about that. So,
That's right.
And I think they're a little upset with me, but I don't care.
That's
if Allah says something, he's done with this babble, and you're upset with it, I don't care. Do I look like I care? You're not my lawyer, and that Bible you're talking about is not, you're not representing me in what you're saying. Because if we feel threatened, we're going to have somebody out there, and they're going to be prepared to meet whatever comes. Brothers should be prepared always. Men should be ready.
Yes, they do. Need to be ready. Right. Alhamdulillah,
we need to teach our children security. That's right. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, ma'am. Our children and our women.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you, Brother Imam. I really do appreciate that, and that is a good idea. I'm praying that we hear something and get to a solution and get some agreements on that. I believe
if the government do that 90% of those that shooting will go away. Because another thing that happened that I didn't mention, the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, usually the shooters, when they come out, he's shooting 10-year-olds. And the other guy, he was shooting people in the grocery store. So by being trained with their own peers and that moral conscience is being registered in all their peers, when that idea comes that he's going to go out and do a lot of shooting, one of the peer group members who had the good sense to have the moral conscience can say to him, oh, man, you can't do that. It ain't right. And if you see that he's hell bent on doing it, he can report it.
Right.
One of his people. He's another 17-year-old, like himself, or 18-year-old, like himself, can report this. What's going on? So he's a little spastic. He's talking about killing people, so we might need to watch it.
So I think that'll
really start eliminating that whole problem.
That's true. Makes sense to me, yeah.
I was looking at a map of mass shootings, and all of them was in the United States. a few in other places, but most all of us in the United States. So we really have to do something.
Yeah, because with that right there, that's like a beginning. Well, it's been happening periodically, but it's more and more because that was so close from the New York and then to Buffalo, New York, and then Texas there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of close. They're taking. Is it more frequently this stuff is going on like this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And many of these things has happened. I hadn't even heard about some of them. So obviously some of them and it's not being reported. So I don't know. I'm
lying. Yeah, it shouldn't be happening. And it's time to take precautionary measures now because, yeah, it's, and the have is never been told, you know, and they let them get away with it and overlook it and don't do anything about it. It's apt to reoccur. Okay, Brother Imam, we appreciate you. And I don't know if anybody else has any more questions or anything from Brother Imam Yusuf Abdullah from Nashville, Tennessee, Director of Susclair Muhammad School. Please push 1 on your phone receiver, and you'll be brought into the queue. And you can ask your question or state your concerns or agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you doing this presentation for us, Brother Imam. Mm-hmm. Nobody else?
Well,
I do have one question to ask.
Go ahead, Carl.
I just want to know, do you have classes or where you teach the children about business, doing for self?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Matter of fact, we have, every year we have a business fair. And the children, they did an excellent job this year. They had a brother to come in from government to talk to them about signing up for business licenses. And so they went through the business license process and then established their businesses. And then the teachers got them prepared for the business fair. And so when they had the business fair, you know, they have their product. They have a product usage. And they, well, first of all, they present what their business is about. And then after everybody make their presentation, then they open the market and you can go to their booth and buy their product. A couple of students made over $100 selling their product in about an hour. They sold their product about 4 to 5 minutes an hour, made over $100. The taste of success is never too sweet.
I know that's
never
right.
Forget that.
I know.
But we teach a business, most certainly.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, yeah. All those down there are about business and studying. And don't even mention the computer, the technology. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
That's how I keep up. I have to deal with an international phone call beyond that end of the week, and a lot of times I have to call one of the students out of the class and help get all my stuff set up where I can talk to the people. But yeah, uh-huh. they're resourceful. They're resourceful.
Very good. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's good. I pray that all of them will succeed and be successful. Because so that brother that was going to be doing that coding before, he just disappeared. We never heard from him anymore. But he's been coming down that way to, I think he relocated or something, business is really booming now. He's doing it better. He's supposed to make down that way and see little brother Khalil and speak with him. I'm supposed to work out something. And Khalil graduated, didn't he?
Alhamdulillah. Oh, you know, Akil?
Akil. I wonder why I keep calling him Khalil. Akil,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's on his way. Inshallah, he's on the way to Fisk University.
Fisk University, that's one of the proudest. That's very good. Fisk University is a good school.
Yeah.
Well, all right. And, oh, I see another hand here. Let's see who this is. Yeah, it looks familiar. Let me see. Assalamu alaikum. You got a question for Brother Imam?
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Brother Agba.
I shall make him, Brother Imam Yusuf.
Well, alaikum assalam, Brother Akbar. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Allahu Akbar. Allah is merciful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you hear the presentation, Akbar? Did you come in time to hear
I heard.
Your phone is breaking up too.
And I heard it and I'm still listening.
Oh.
Alhamdulillah.
What do you like about the idea, the last one that he that the Imam presented? To have start the children to go to the rifle range, you know, and a very good strategy that Imam has come up with that would help the children prepare themselves and be prepared in case something breaks out like they did in Texas and in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, we got some young men that done finished college, and they done come together and they done formed the exercise class along with karate and other self defense classes, and they love Imam Warazik Muhammad and said this idea come from him. So there's a lot of young people. See the danger and the evil in this world, and they are come together with their degrees and us to come join them and work with them and educate them at the same time. Take care of their body and how to eat to live and all other good things. Young people are trying. They're not only trying, they're putting together successful things that make it to happen that's very attractive. So our young people, we thought they would all be going in the wrong direction, but that's not true. There's many of them going in, and they want the best out of this life. So I'm just allowed to see those kind of people. So. Yeah, it's a good idea to teach the young people how to shoot and how to exercise, how to think and get involved in activities that take them away from the TV and take them away from this big world won't attract them and lead them down to a bad path. They do need it, yeah. And pray that, you know, all of us can do something. Let's get a basketball team. See some kind of influence on these young people. Because they are not bad. They just need some guidance.
Yeah.
You know, they need some guidance. If we train them to go to school and get an education, and tell them to get a job, and we don't tell them that the real job is to make jobs for people like themselves and own great businesses and have people come to your business. We're not teaching them that. Then we just learn what we've been learning all the time. Just get a job, go back to the school that put us in this condition and make them rich. We just keep revolving door going. We have to teach our children that it's not wrong to spend for ourselves. Matter of fact, it's very intelligent to spend money with ourselves. Like Imam said, that young person made $100 an hour. We went to Malcolm X festival in the park, and all them business people there. That's you know us and other people, but the majority of them were us. So and we are saying us people that been put in our condition. We know we all are the children of Adam. We all supposed to be one people, but because of the lies, them divided us up, and it's hard to be put back together like this at Humpty Dumpty, because all the lies one better when white, black, young people have been fed to us, keep us divided, not going by scripture. So we can take advantage of that, and because God done already rejected his fine going to be. I don't know who will fit that mold in us, the rejection is fine. So once we realize that we got a calling, all of us, and that is to work together, we can teach these people to be human beings by showing how to. For right now, they're not human beings. How can the people stop me from, don't want me to vote? Don't want me to exceed. Then tell me a lie. He oversees fighting for my freedom. But here I'm going to fight to keep a ballot so I can vote. And then when I go to court, my fine is a little heavier than the other people. Then there ain't no justice there. So, you know, then got to stop. And we have to point it out to our That's people, right. by to the other people. By spending money with ourselves. Right. Had people come in town the last weekend, and the only place was open at that time. There was some Chinese people. Went there to get the Chinese food. People don't even say thank you. They don't even smile at you no more. Act like they're doing you a favor. And that all come from that image. They think they made it 20 years ago. They was thank you. Every 5 seconds, thank you, bowling and all that. Now, they don't want any thank you for buying their shrimp fried rice. So we're always going to continue to mistreat us as long as we are like we are dependent on them, because we have to realize that in order for us to have a community, we have to own at least 90% of the business in that community. If we get that, from that, we just got somewhere to lay our heads. So we had to come out of that, we can come away from that problem and move out of that problem and show the world that we are the people that they talk about going to help remake this world. And because this world, at the time you have two incidents back to back, and then more happening as a baby took and put this baby brother, sister, in the oven, cut it on while mom and daddy run to the bill store, run whatever they were going, and come back, had the baby in the oven, dead baby, done put him in the oven.
Microwave
oven, whatever it was. The baby
dead.
Oh, wow. This is us. Yeah. So we said we want freedom, justice, and equality. And we said we won't be equal. We can't be equal with the people whom we don't have no love for each other. They got love for each other. That's why they do what they do. They stick together. And we think it's wrong to stick together. And we want to stick together to show them how wrong they are. There ain't no wrong sticking together. When you stick together, when you're wrong, then there's no reward for wrong coming to them from God. God don't love that. Was right. You don't love no wrong, and we had to teach them by holding our money and spending our money with each other. That's the only way. Jesse Jackson had a program, Rainbow Coalition, and he took and asked all the people in Chicago not to buy no Coca-Cola, Pepsi Cola, or Coca-Cola. And they did that, and they gave him millions of dollars because he was hurting them. The bus boycott during the Montgomery. That hurt them. Then we wanted to own it. And then we somebody whispered in our ear, we turn around and sell the bus back to them. We so easy to be persuaded because we love that image. And like Elijah said, we love that image because that image give us nothing. We pray to it. We sing to it. But we don't own nothing from that but hell coming from there. Because the only thing we receive from that, we pray and fall down and shout. But when it comes to owning skyscrapers, ships in the sea, planes in the sky, we are at the bottom of the totem pole. Not because we don't have the money. We don't have the knowledge and understanding that the power in us coming together and putting our resource together, that's the power they don't want us to have. We get that power, then the people will listen to you. Now, if you think I'll listen to you while you broke, and begging and get a grant and try, they gonna all listen to you because they got their feet on your neck. And the only way we're gonna get our feet off their neck is we start supporting each other, building everything that like our children love to go to they places and have a good time. They skating rink. We have to have a skating rink. We have to have a entertainment for our children, for our women to go to. And then we can invite them to come in, and they'll come to hear what we got to say.
And you're right, but then, too, they got to learn some more education, too. They got to get back to education. You know what I'm saying? Being able to listen, like the high technology and things like that that's coming out nowadays. Because they can spend that time on that PlayStation and doing all those with those games like Brother Imam Yusuf just mentioned. Then that's not helping them educationally, the education-wise. That's not helping them, but violence. That's all the way support more violence and all things.
Yeah, all that leads everything you see, the majority of things you see on TV leads away from education. Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, all this stuff leads our children away from the realities that they need. So they can be successful in this earth because they have put that stigma on our children. And they haven't changed. And that's why they don't want the racial theory taught in the school no more because
that's right.
How wrong they were, how guilty they were, how unjust and how ungodly. They have no right trying to teach us about God, the way they did us. Not all of them, but those who know about it ain't made amends to it. They ain't stepped up and said we were wrong for that, and very few of them have done that. So they benefit from what they did to us. Still benefit from our miseducation. What they gave us, they gave education to return us back to them. That's what we do in Cambridge. And we keep our neighborhood poor. We keep ourselves, we look good. The rest of it's starving because we can't help each other. And God done told us how in the world we're going to be prosperous. We don't be good neighbors. We don't love one another. We're not going nowhere. Ain't nobody going to love us until we love each other. I'm gonna let you thank you, brother, ma'am, for sharing
thank
with
you,
us.
Buddy,
and I'm gonna get off of there for a minute. Okay, I shalom. Thank you, brother, ma'am. I shalom aleikum.
Thank you. I appreciate your comment. Praise the Lord.
You start doing goodbye, don't you, man? We're glad to have your input. You can stick around and close out for us too, because it's that hour. We got 5 minutes, and we'll be off the air. So don't go nowhere now, okay? We appreciate you, brother, man. We appreciate you coming on and sharing with us what you have, and we're looking for the outcome and the results of the letter and everything. And Anyway, you can participate in that as far as a signed petition or whatever other way you choose to take it. We're ready. We're here.
Okay.
It's 8:56 now. 4 minutes, and Brother Imam, anything else you'd like to say, or when you can bring us more good information and put out here on Sundays and Tuesdays? And I really would like for Aaliyah to come on too. It's a new day, brand new day. Everything is brand new world and everything now. So the young people, young people doing their thing.
Matter of fact, we'll bring about a new day here in Nashville. Next year, Sister Hudson is he's finishing up, and Aaliyah will be the principal. Aaliyah will be the principal after this. Matter of fact, starting next year.
You hear that, Akbar? Aaliyah's gonna be the principal starting next year of the school down there. The young sister, been there. Went to school there, graduated from there, went on out to the public school, to the college, and still did good, and coming back and teaching, and she's just,
kind of reminded them birds that Allah told about Abraham.
Yes, they set them on four corners.
and then call them, they would come be flying with you.
Yes, come back flying. Yes, indeed. Well, that's good. That's a good example, too. She set a good example, corner post for the school, too. Praise be to Allah. Well, Akbar, you might as well go on and close out for us, because... Brother Imam, we're going to close out, Akbar. We have to close out now. You could have come on earlier. Ask Brother Imam to close out one if you want to. Would you close out, please? My husband, he's just too much. He's been out there cutting grass and doing everything. That been too long coming here, and he said his little dude. Now he's ready to ask somebody else to close out. Brother Imam, would you close out, please?
Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Our Lord, toward us that we may be grateful to thee for the favors thou hast bestowed upon us and on our parents. Our Lord, guide us on your straight path. Grant us the blessing of faith. Increase us in knowledge and make us among your righteous servants. And help us so we may work the righteousness that please thee. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Imam. You're the family and all of the believers there in Nashville. Greetings from Sister Daya. And I'm here. I'm down here. Need me, just call on me, y'all. Just call on me.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. She said 10 seconds, but I'm tired. I'm ready to go there. But I had our presenter, and you'll be talking over in a minute. 9 o'clock right now as we speak. It's time to hang up. Start on time and end on time. Ooh, that's a pretty bird. Look at that bird. You got a lot of stuff there. Look at that bird. Isn't it pretty?
Yeah.
Well, it's going to eat. Oh, you got a plate in there. You still want that plate, that barbecue plate?
Yeah.
What happened? Didn't we have some Chinese stuff up there, mixture up there?
Yeah.
What happened to it?
I don't know.
Because I was going to put them shrimps in it. I haven't seen it since you bought it here. You poured it out. You said we got some Chinese veggies up here. And I ain't seen it since.
Yeah, up there,
yeah. No, it ain't up there. I closed out, you know, but I don't own it.